for some reason, it doesn't seem to be a real popular book that preachers like to reference to. But the Holy Spirit gave me this scripture this morning. And it reads like this. It's out of chapter 5, starting with verse 19, and it is in your pew Bible, page 1284. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. Unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. This is the word of God for the people of God. So, this passage serves as a tremendous comparison between God and mortal men. This means that God is forever faithful, that God is forever steadfast, and forever what he has promised to be. We, on the other hand, are quite different. It's because that we are quick to change our passions. We are quick to alter our promises. And we like to cast aside our responsibilities in our relationship with God. You ever think about that? You know, so often you hear us say, well, just, you know, ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And you do. But we never stop to think about the responsibilities that we have as followers of Christ. There aren't many of us that haven't said or heard it said, let's go back to the good old days. So how many of you are guilty of saying that? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Well, let me put a new perspective on that for you this morning. Those were the days without washing machines and dryers. Those were the days without telephones and private lines. Those days, gas for our car was only 5 cents. You worked all day for not much more than that. Maybe you want to return to the days where there was no air conditioning and only the rich people had electric service in their homes. Now you want to go back to the good old days? Oh, Pete, you're a killjoy. Thank you for that. You see, things might have been simpler years ago, but it was because there wasn't as much available to complicate and fill the lives of the people. It was easy. It was not easy in terms of hard, but we didn't have so many things to deal with. There was no things like stopping at the convenience store for a loaf of bread on the way home because your wife called on her cell phone and asked you to do that. However, there was something wonderful about them good old days, and that was the face and character of people. Things were done on a handshake over a fence. A man's word, a woman's word was exactly that. Steadfast. It was stronger and better than a signature on a contract. For the most part, people believed in God and they worshiped God. The generation before us wouldn't dream of missing a church service. I remember when we went on vacation, the first thing my parents did was find where the local church was before Sunday got there. And I remember going to them services. And I remember having to go to the Sunday school class too, which I hated, because I was the only stranger there. But it was important. That's just the way it was. Unless they were exceptionally, gravely sick, you went to church twice a Sunday. And on communion, you went even if you were sick. Being tired and weary and aching muscles were a way of life. So missing church for any of those reasons would have been laughable to them. There were very few atheists back then. And those that were so outnumbered that they kept quiet. Today it's a badge of honor to say you're an atheist. People don't hesitate to claim that title, even when you don't want to hear it, they tell you. Faith ran high. They knew how to pray or how to get someone to their house that could pray. We've done that more than once in our family years and years ago. If they needed rain, they talked to the one who sends rain. And they expected him to answer. The past generation loved the Word of God. It was a normal way of life to take time out in your day and spend time in devotion with the Scripture and talking to God. That was normal. To not do that was unbelievable. I suspect that the far majority today don't do that. I don't know. But the way people are acting today, the things that are going on in our world today, suggest that they're not spending time with the Scripture. However, our generation today has so many different versions of the Bible that they can just pick the one that says what they want it to say and one easily understand without digging and searching. So you pick up the old King James and you just can't understand it. So you go to the NIV. Or one of the many other versions. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying King James is good. But what I am saying is if you're looking and using and reading a different version because you found that it says what you want it to say, you better think twice. Because the Scripture is not about what we want it to say. It's about what Jesus says. It's about what God commands us. Did you know that the New Living Bible? There are many, many, many verses that are not in there, that are in the King James. Yeah. Just off the top of my head, there are several verses out of the Book of Mark that aren't in the Living Translation. Our generation today can do well without a preacher and certainly does not want someone giving them a counsel on how to live their lives according to the Word of God. We have learned to live our lives in such ease, in such comfort, in such fruitfulness, that we have become religious, listen to this, that we have become religious instead of being passionate believers. Now, there's nothing wrong with being religious, but there is if you're not passionate about what you believe. Just sitting down and reading through a few verses of Scripture because that's what's expected of you to do, and then close the book and go on about your life the way you want it to be, is not being passionate. Christ wants us to be passionate. This is what I'm hearing in the voice and the tone of this prophet named Jeremiah, which was the prophet that wrote the book of Lamentations. When he cries out, "Renew our days of old," he is recording the sorrow over the fact that Israel, who was so wonderfully blessed of Jehovah over all other nations, yet they had forgotten their Creator and their Redeemer. And they did it over and over and over and over. But yet, God still favors them. Because he said that's what he was going to do. You are my chosen people. Even when they drifted away and lived these pagan and sinful lives, God was still there with grace and forgiveness. And he is for us today. These are the days of old that we want renewed. God is calling us for revival through the book of Lamentations, through the prophet Jeremiah. God is hungering for the return of a loved nation back to the good graces. He is standing there today looking at where we are going with our nation today and our world and saying, "Come back. We will renew the days of old." However, it's evident that these nations will choose not to return. So God sends his judgment and his destruction. That's what he's done in the past. What makes us think he won't do it again? What makes he think he won't destroy the best nation on the land? He will. If we don't change our ways, that is exactly what he will do. It's happened to every Christian nation or people. They enjoy the blessings and prosperity of God, and then they become so complacent. They've become so deluded and so morally corrupt that the prosperity of the blessings of God has to be replaced by judgment. Now, where do you think we stand in that equation today? Does complacent fit us? Does delusion fit us? Does morally corrupt fit us? I think maybe it does. And God, through Jeremiah, is telling us to repent and return. And he's also saying if we don't, there will be a judgment. We are there today. Each of us need to begin to understand the holy hope this nation has as a revival. That it is to get the church back on fire. To get the church back on their knees. To get the church back in tune with the Holy Ghost. I feel an impending sense of judgment if we don't get something done and get it done now. Not later. now, quickly, immediately. There are fences to mend. There are some promises that have to be made good. But most importantly, there is an angry God that needs to be appeased. Yeah. God is capable of getting angry. And he does. And I suspect that he is right now angry with this nation, with the people that live here. This is not the only cry of a passionate writer that made a plea with God to turn his people back to him. This is not the only time that we hear about this or read about this in the Bible. In Psalm 80, verse 3, it says, "Restore us again." In verse 7, it says, "Restore us again." In verse 19, it says, "Restore us again." And in Psalms 85, verse 4, it says, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause anger toward us to cease." God thought it was so important that we restore to the old days that he repeated it in Scripture over and over and over again. I found just a few. I'm sure if I had spent more time, I would have found this throughout the whole Bible. And what all of this "restore us again" is saying is that he is angry. And rightfully so. He's given us children to teach the truth to. And we have let them do as they choose, when they choose. And now they have no faith. He's given us prosperity. And we have grudgingly given him his 10%. And then hold on to everything else that we possibly can without sharing. We think if we just lay 10% in that collection plate once a week, we're good to go. We're not. That's not what God is saying. But that's where we've come. He has given us power, and we have disregarded it. He has given us an anointed leader, and we have made them common and placed them on a shelf. He's angry at the United States of America, and I don't think we can really stand in the face of such anger and wrath. We think we can. And maybe for a short while. But God's anger will change to judgment if we don't see it and renew the days of old. Thank you. The United States has been here before. I recall a time when prayer was allowed in our schools, and God was blessing and keeping his hand upon the growth of our children. You see, we had chewing gum in the schools, but we didn't have murder. We had note writing during class, but we didn't have 14-year-old girls getting pregnant. We had boys spitting paper wads into the hair of girls across the room. How many are guilty of that? Oh, come on, raise your hands. My goodness. But we didn't have those same boys cursing and hitting their teacher. We decided to get legalistic and listen to the loud voices telling us to rid the schools of God and prayer and discipline. And now we have a godless society called public education. Did you ever put that connection together? Yeah. I say it again. God is angry, and rightfully so. So what do we do? There are some days of old, dedications and promises, that each of us Christians need to find them and retrieve them. We need to do all we can to get them back into our lives, into our families, and into our society. We need to do it as quickly as possible. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but today. We need to start that renewal of the old day movement. We cannot do it by being the silent majority. We need to speak out. Let me ask you this. When you were kids, and Ma or Dad said, do this, do this, do this, do that. Maybe you did it, maybe you didn't do it. But in my family, at some point, my dad got angry. And I'm here to tell you, I did it. Why do we not do it when God's angry? Yeah. Why do we not do it when God's angry? We need God, and we need him in a dire manner. We need to find people who are hungry for sermons instead of sermonettes. And we need people who are tired of sin and sinning. We need preachers to preach fire and brimstone. We don't need preachers that preach feel-good messages to fill the pews, to fill the collection plate. We need preachers to tell them the way it is. We need preachers to tell us that God is angry. And we need to renew them old days. If I stand up here and say something that hurts your feelings, good. Maybe your feelings needed to be hurt. If I stand up here and say something that moves you to start that renewal, good. If I didn't or don't, then I failed. And I need you to tell me when I fail. I'm a big boy. You won't hurt my feelings. If this nation will turn from their sins and reach for their Creator, then we will begin to see His hand again in protection and peace. If all of these people were moved that are in the streets rioting and destroying, if all of these people were moved to listen to Christ, our streets would be clean. Our buildings would be whole. And all of these people with black hearts would be renewed in Christ. It's time for us to be strong in the faith and act Christian. Our families, our faith, our nation depends on it. Jeremiah had it right when he said his throne remains forever. Long after the United States of America has been overrun by their enemies, God's throne will stand. We are promised that. We are promised that the only one who will stand with that throne are those who have had that kind of character in their heart and in their soul and in their mind. Renew our days of old should be the cry on each of our lips as you head to the altar of God. In a few minutes, we're going to come to the table. Silently, on your lips, say, renew our days of old. We have never tasted the anger of God. We've only enjoyed His grace and mercy. But if God never changes, then there is a side of him that is subject to anger, and we must never forget that very important fact. We really don't want to taste that anger. But I'm reminded of the consequences of his anger in verse Numbers, in the book of Numbers 25, verse 3 and 4. And it reads this. So Israel yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people and kill them and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. Then it went on to say, take these bodies and hang them publicly, so people know that I was angry. You see, we absolutely do not want to experience the anger of the Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.